It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, roving, adventurous, intrepid reporter in the cold. Ruth, what's going on out there?
Good morning. It's holiday season, as we know, so there are tons of things going on. But one of particular interest was on Saturday up in Cornwall. They had the first version of Wreaths Across America. It was a very touching ceremony, started by or organized by Bill Dineen, and Bill Dineen of BMS Appliance fame, who is retired now, but we all used him for years fixing our appliances. This is a program that's held all over the world, actually, in which wreaths are placed on the graves of veterans to remember them at this time of year. There were, Bill said, 7,600 locations this year, including all 50 states and territories and some countries. So it was a little snowy and it was cold, but it was a good crowd that trudged up to this area at the Cornwall Cemetery off Route 4. And there were wreaths for all the branches of the military. Bill gave a nice little presentation, and then the people there, and it was a good crowd, they all took wreaths and placed them on veterans' graves. And Bill said, please say their name and thank them for their service. So, as I say, a very good turnout and nicely done. And Bill said there were, he raised money for each of the wreaths and got enough for 175 wreaths to put down. And then there were leftover 85 wreaths, and he said that those went to the North Cornwall Cemetery on the next day. So this is going to become a yearly thing. Bill said he's already gotten sponsorships for next year, and he's, in his own words, he said, I'm humbled by the reaction and very pleased. So we can look forward to seeing that each year. Then on Sunday evening was the start of Hanukkah, and so Carl Chayette has done this traditional lighting of the menorah on the Sharon Green. He always points out it's such an ecumenical thing because it's in between, the menorah stands in between the town Christmas tree and the creche. So it's really a very nice addition.
Well, we should add that the town Christmas tree moved when they redid the green. I said we should add that the town Christmas tree moved.
Yes.
Because it used to be right next to the creche and the menorah.
And now it's down a little further, down the green.
Because
right?
they redid the green.
Yep. And so it's, again, a lovely gathering, not just of Jewish people. There a variety of folks represented. And Lynn Kircher, who is the selectman, and Carl's wife, helps out. And, you know, it's really sweet. They do prayers, and then they light the little menorah, which will be lit each night for the next 8 days. And then, as we know, potato latkes are the favorite meal in Hanukkah. And so Lynn and Carl give out their version, which is bags of potato chips. And very cute. And
I was absolutely going to ask about the latkes, so that's good. All right. Bob, that's nice to know that they give out potato chips.
And then some Hanukkah gelt goes along with it. And it was cold. It was very cold, but people stayed out and followed the tradition. So, and that's just, those are just two of the things that are going on all this season. There were pancake breakfasts and parades and Santas and everything. As we've said before, it's a very festive season here in the Northwest Corner. So, and it's still going on. There are things you can still do, and Don't forget the holiday store at the high school is still going on. Get your trees and wreaths and so forth. So it's going on.
Well, you're 10 days now.
Yeah, so right, exactly.
Ten days goes by fast.
It goes quickly. And you better check. I assume they still have trees up there. So,
well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if they still have product or not. So
yeah,
we'll have to check
on that.
I'm sure
they have wreaths and poinsettias, but just check to make sure they have trees.
Yeah.
The last time I drove by the way, they did have trees. But I also looked at the sign. They're open until the
20th.
Yep.
That's 5 days then for that.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if are the kids off for the whole week of Christmas this year?
Yeah, they have 2 weeks off.
2 weeks off. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. And they would close the store on the
20th.
As of Friday. So.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
That's
straight,
for the Housatonic Valley Regional High School, on that one.
Yes. Yes, for those who
don't want people going, well, where do I go for this?
I forget that we know it all, but maybe some of our listeners don't.
Yeah, we got people in a much wider range out there.
Yep. Friday night was Salisbury Forum, a very interesting talk on depopulation. Two authors who have written a book about the topic. I will acknowledge it was a very interesting talk and a little hard to write up as far as, you know, doing a synopsis of what was said. But the general gist is that these two feel, they started off asking who thinks the world is overpopulated, and a lot of people raise their hand, and then who thinks it's not, and some almost even, not quite, raise their hands. But their premise is that we are not overpopulated, and that we're seeing a lowering of birth rates, and they're fearful that, you know, there could be a period of depopulation, which would not be healthy, according to them. They feel that there should be stability. Claim is we need a stable population because of all the things that people do and all the advances that have been made, keeping it low is not a benefit. So, I mean, I'm just making a very broad statement here, but there was a lot into their talk and a lot of questions, a lot of interest. So the authors are Dean Spears and Michael Geruso, and their book is out there called The Spike. And for those who are interested, and it was a good crowd.
Did they indicate a high end, what they thought a population limit might be?
No, but we're at 8.2 billion right now.
I believe so.
Yeah, that's what their figure was. And they see it, what their projections are, it's going to keep going up until about the 2060s, and then we'll start to see a decline. And it was lots of interesting facts. But for those who are interested, I mean, it was an enlightening talk. Patricia Jenny, who has been head of Salisbury Forum for 2 years, her term is up, and she announced that Sarah Tennyson will be the new leader of the Salisbury Forum. For those who are not familiar, the forum puts on these free talks. They get really top-notch speakers on all sorts of topics, mostly current events type things. But it's all free, and these are all free, and, of course, they're seeking donations. The next one will be held, I think, in February sometime. It's going to be a lighthearted one with somebody who's talks about magic and sleight of hand, things like that. She said that should be very enjoyable.
A lot of that going on these days.
Well, you can listen, but you don't have to pay for it. So, but it's Salisbury Forum, as I've said, is I believe is a wonderful addition to this community, and people are very lucky to have it. We also had on Sunday night, the vigil for the remembrance of Sandy Hook. As we know, you know, that was a tragedy beyond. And they meet at the lawn at the White Hart. This has been going on for almost ever since Sandy Hook occurred. There are candles, there are talks, there are acknowledgement of the tragedy. And because it's Sandy Hook is pretty close to this area, there were many people who were closely involved. So that was Sunday. And again, in these troubled times, I think it's important, people feel important that they come together and sort of bond over these things. I just should mention that at the Hanukkah celebration, Carl pointed out how pertinent it is that, you know, we need to talk about resilience and dedication at this time. And one woman made mention of the tragedy in Australia in which Jews were targeted. And so it all came around full circle. There's been an announcement that Silver Lake Camp is closing, and that's been a staple in the community for, years, 68 years, and that's run by the Congregational Church, Church of Christ, and I would venture to guess thousands of children have gone through this camp. It's off on Indian Lake, and it's going to be, this was the final summer. They had hoped to continue for one more year. You know, it's financial, as with everything else. And but they've decided that it's just, they can't do it. So they are closing its doors, and keeping it open was just going to be too costly.
And is the official end already, or is it going to be a little bit before they close the doors for good?
Looks like this is it.
This is it. Do you know the...
What happens to the property?
Yep, same question I
had. I'm just trying to see what it says here. What's next for the property indicated there would be... They would review purchase offers. Yeah. Prioritizing those entities with a connection to the camp.
Be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big... chunk, and I don't know. Well, I don't know how many acres it is, but I would imagine it's pretty big. They talked about, 10 years ago there were 950 summer campers there, and in 2024 they were down to 250.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, it's really huge.
And that, so, if they had 950 at one point, that gives you an idea how big the property must be then.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking to see.
Was that anything similar to like what Camp Sloan is in Lakeville? Or?
Well, Sloan is run by the YMCA.
Yeah, but did they do similar things at Silver Lake? I mean, yeah, I know they're different organizations. So.
Right. That's a blow, especially to people who have attended it, and you know, I know someone who goes way back, and it made a deep impression on her life.
So, yeah, well, and a lot of the churches, unfortunately, in this time are suffering financial problems because attendance is down, donations are down, and this is on a large scale.
Right.
You know, because it wasn't that long.
Just of that. Absolutely.
Wasn't that long ago the Catholic churches around here started consolidating everything, and
You know, we have. Was it two priests covering six towns?
Yeah. But I'm sometimes wondering because they've kept all the properties as far as I know. And I wonder if they're hoping the future is going to bring them back open because it must be rather expensive to hold on to these places.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. We have a rectory down here in Kent, and there's one in Sharon for the same priest. So not sure where he's living and what happens to the empty one. That's always been an issue. And then, of course, you have the one in somebody covering Canaan and
Norfolk.
Norfolk, interesting.
Well, the changing world.
It certainly is, yeah.
So anything new and exciting come up? We're getting real close in where we're going to find fewer and fewer things to talk about,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, as I say, this time of year is really things slow down, and it's mostly festive stuff. There wasn't the interesting talk about the transition in Canaan, going from Brian Oler to Jesse Bunce as the first selectman, and there was an article about how it wasn't quite a seamless transition. We'll be keeping an eye on that to see. Hopefully things will settle down, and, you know, it's all about the running of the town and not personalities, so hopefully things will shake out well there. Here in Kent, we have our town park, Emery Park, has been closed for many years because the water, the quality of the pool, it's a spring-fed pool, has been questionable, and lots of questions about handicapped accessibility and so forth. So they're hoping, the Park and Rec has been working on it. They have grants, they have ARPA money, and they're hoping to reopen. We are the only town in the region without a public pool, and that's been an issue of concern. While lots of people do have their own pools, there are still those who don't and like a summer place to congregate and keep cool. So.
Well, congregate, that's a key part, too. Sometimes we like to go out and see other people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Stay right on your own estate with your pool and everything, your internet. You don't have to actually personally contact anybody at all.
That's how.
Oh, and then let's not forget, when congregating was barred because of a virus. So people are just getting back to recongregating.
Yeah, I think that's true in some cases, because you still see a lot of people. I know meetings and stuff that have been continued to be not in person, and I still see a lot of people who are wearing masks and stuff in an era where, you know, this is gone. We usually didn't do it with flus, but obviously there's a little bit of I don't know what the term I'm looking for here. But there's still that thing hovering over, just to keep protecting yourself just in case.
It's interesting you bring that up. I was just talking to somebody who this weekend that, you know, talking about Zoom meetings versus in person, and how I think, you know, it's nice on a cold night not to have to go out to a meeting for me, so it's, I can watch it. But there's also something missing when you're not in a room with people. There's body language. There are things you learn, you pick up from others when you're in a room with them. There are benefits to both, but I do miss some of the in-person getting together. And this Emery Park was a meeting place when my kids were young. We all the young mothers sat, and we met, and that's how we got to know one another, and our kids got to know one another. And it's an important aspect of life in a town.
Yeah, it is. I thought everybody would go to hybrid, but some have not. So you could have the choice of in-person or not, because I agree with you on the in-person part of it on many levels, because it's difficult to deal with people when you're not seeing. And a lot of times, too, if you're online, there's the lag time that comes in. And, and you know, they'll have 20 people up on a little screen. And what do you think, Jill? I hear you.
Yeah. Oh, it just feels different, but I'm very happy to hear this 5 years later, because I was preaching about it back then. So, yeah. No, the in-person, it's the humanity aspect.
Yeah.
So you just, being with people, and it's so funny, because people absolutely go out of their way to socialize their pets. They understand now that's something that is, to be a good pet parent, that's something you do. You know, Mike, you don't have a lone chinchilla. You don't. It's like, yes,
yeah.
People need to interact with other people. You get cues. You get to see things. You can get that look. Somebody could tick you, you know, underneath the table. That was always one of my favorite parts. Why? But the point is that you, as Ruth, you said, Mike, you said, there are cues. We need those cues.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because you can see, sometimes personally at meetings, you can see people saying something to somebody without ever opening their mouth, just by looking at the way they look at them and saying, that guy over there is going to die any moment now by the darts that are coming out of this guy's eyes. Goodness. So, well, folks, a chilly morning it is, but we're also coming to the end of the line here. So I'm going to, unless you have something else, Ruth, I'm going to fire it over there to Jill and she can take us home.
I'm done.
All right.
Thank you very much. This has been Ruth Epstein. What's going on out there, Ruth? Robin Hood Radio's Wandering Intrepid, etc. reporter on Robin Hood Radio.